All right. So, please turn with me once again to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. If you don't know where that is, look in your Bibles. There's a table of contents in the beginning. Go to the New Testament section and look for 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Okay? And in the meantime, all right, there we go. This was not officially a series, but last week what we did talk about was what you should get out of a sermon. And again, this came from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Last week we talked about that. One of the things we should get out of a sermon is something to do. Not only are we supposed to have something to do, but we're also supposed to get growth out of a sermon. Even in a sermon like this, you're supposed to get something to do and growth. And I tried to leave with this point that maybe it's not about what you get out of the sermon, but what the sermon gets out of you. And so today we're going to be coming from the 3rd and 4th verses of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. But in the interest of time, what we're going to do is read 2 Timothy, 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible version. I understand that there is different versions out there, and I want you to keep your version open because we're going to be talking about it. But 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 3rd verse reads as follows. It says, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear." Last week, I talked about what you should get out of a sermon. Today, I want to talk about what you should not get out of a sermon. You may be seated. We know there are false teachers out and about. False teachers, people that take the Bible and pervert it for their own goods. Well, in the spirit of teaching you what to look out for, again, what you should not get out of a sermon, I'm going to do something a little unprecedented. Some of you may know that once upon a time I did some Christian rap. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to perform, okay? I'm just going to play the song. All right. But I did play it before, and this song's like over 8 years old, about 8 years old, something like that. And I want to warn you, okay? This song is me being a false teacher, okay? Now, of course, I'm preaching, you know, almost every Sunday. I try to preach the truth. On this song, specifically this song, what I'm personifying is a false teacher. So everything that comes out of my mouth in this song is coming from a false teacher perspective. All right? Y'all with me? Because I don't want to confuse nobody in here. This is me being a false teacher. All right? With that said, I do have the lyrics on the screen for y'all. For those of us that, you know, may not be able to understand what I'm saying. But the song is called Laughing Ears. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and play this. I'm doing a sound check. This is going to be the springboard because, again, I want us to understand what a false preacher sounds like before we get on with this sermon. Sound check, nice and loud, good. All right, here we go.
God that I serve wouldn't stretch you, and if you broke, he will come to your rescue. He don't want to leave you in pain. He don't want you to live in vain. He just want to make you happy. You want this? Don't the Bible say that Jesus came to make you rich? Don't he want to give you peace? That applies to your finances at least. If you trust him, you just do your part, cause he'll have to give you all of the desires of your heart, right? That's why you have to name it, then claim it. If you pray the right way, then you'll gain it. Oh, don't forget to pause and bless the man of God with your best yes. I'ma preach to the passions, tickle the ears, get them laughing. I ain't even trying to think about that wrath when the church put their cash in the bucket for my actions. Some say we are bad men. Well, tell me why my wallet's so fat then. They just hate cause I'm flashing. The church loves me, ask them. There's some people that don't like me. They say I'm pimping the word, well I might be. They out here calling me a false prophet. But ain't nothing false about these prophets. Plus I got some females that think I'm fly. But my wife not at home, they can come inside. And speaking of fly, I am on the air. Radio, TV, I'm everywhere. I don't need to tell the plain truth. When your boys got planes and coupes, if that's strange to you, don't think about it too much, too much. Just keep it moving like the wheels on the school bus. You may call it sin and I'll call it business. My money endless, no way the Lord would end this. I'm just having fun, man. Your boy's eating. I can't wait to preach again this weekend, cause I'ma preach to the passions. Tickle the ears, get them laughing. I ain't even try to think about that wrath when the church put their cash in the bucket for my actions. Some say we are bad men. Well, tell me why my wallet's so fat then. They just hate cause I'm flashing. The church loves me, ask them. I can gain the world, why tell the truth? I can lose my soul, but I can sell it too. This whole thing is a game to be played with the aim to get paid, and I came here to stay. Why preach wrath and destruction? I'm trying to bring these bucks in. I mean a lot, like I'm trying to bring trucks in. Plus, they don't even want God's instruction. They don't want to hear that the sin that is in them condemns them to a burning hell. But if they make their income their emblem instead of Jesus taking all their punishment and then some, oh well. I'll keep talking about health and wealth, then don't worry about nobody else but yourself. And if I've helped you get blessed today, don't forget to bless the plate, cause I'ma preach to your passions. Tickle your ears, get them laughing. I ain't even trying to think about that wrath when you put in all that cash in the bucket for my actions. Some say we are bad men. Well, tell me why my wallet's so fat then. They just hate cause I'm flashing. You love me, I know. I love your money, so I'll preach to your passions. I'll tickle your ears and get them laughing. I ain't even trying to think about that wrath when you put in all this cash in my bucket for my actions. Some say we are bad men. Well, tell me why my wallet's so fat then. Look, they just hate cause I'm flashing. You love me, I appreciate it.
It's very dangerous to filter the Bible through what we want to hear instead of listening to what God wants to tell us.
That's what a false preacher sounds like. Some of us have heard things like this before. Hello? Some of us said all the time. From certain ministers. That's all they preach. Have you seen their cars lately? And their houses? It works. You know, if your goal is making money off of people, it works. And false teachers like these have been around for the last 2,000 years. And this is the type of false preaching that Paul is warning Timothy that is going to happen. And that is that he needs to be prepared for. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 3rd through 4th verse, he says, "For the time will come." And, you know, the way I like to read this is, "For the time has come." For the time is now here. When people will not tolerate sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. And right there, even though Paul is giving this instruction to Timothy for him to watch out for, what Paul actually also gives is a few points, a few things that we should not get out of a sermon. One of the things that we need to watch out for when we're listening to sermons, one of the things to watch out for is if we get what I like to call a distaste for doctrine. A distaste for doctrine. The Bible says, again in verse 3, that for the time will come when people, look at this, will not tolerate. Some people say endure. People will not tolerate sound doctrine. Let me say it like this. People get tired of hearing about Jesus all the time. People get tired of hearing about holiness and righteousness and grace and mercy. People get tired of hearing about the atonement, and people get tired of hearing about the indwelling of the Holy. It just gets tiring to hear. And so this is one of the things I'm warning you against, is that if you come to church and you are just sick and tired of hearing about doctrine, you are in danger. Because when you get tired of hearing about the truths of the Bible, when you get tired of hearing about what Jesus has done on the cross and rising from the, when you get tired of all of this, that's when the problems start. The problems start when we get tired of it. Why? Let's back up. What is the point of doctrine? What is the point of teaching, of instruction? What is the point of making sure that we understand, for example, the Trinity? For example, understanding sin. What is the point of understanding the grace? And what is the point of all of this? What is the point of all of these doctrines? Doctrines exist to understand and to hear from God. Let me say this again. If we want to understand God, we want to understand and really to know God, we have to know how God thinks. We have to know what God wants done. We have to know how God has structured things so that when we hear things, we know if it's of God and if it's not. My sheep know my voice. That is what Jesus said. That's the point of coming to church and hearing about doctrine. That's the point of coming and hearing about righteousness and salvation and imputation and all of these words. The reason we're doing this is because we want to learn about God. That is the point of doctrine. Doctrine exists to understand and hear from God. When you stop hearing doctrine, you stop understanding and hearing God. Let me say that one more time. When you stop hearing about righteousness, when you stop hearing about sanctification, when you stop hearing these things, when you stop hearing the word, you stop hearing God. When you stop hearing the truths that are preached in the Bible, you stop understanding God. And see, this is, and Lord, bring me back. But this is the issue with false teachers. Sometimes we have ministers that don't know what God sounds like. So because they don't know God and they don't sound like God, but they're up here like me, supposedly preaching in the place of God, they preach something that doesn't sound like him. And when people hear the minister, the people think they're hearing from God. Y'all following me? The people think that they're hearing from God, but in reality, they're hearing from the minister. Because the minister don't know God. You can't talk about somebody you don't know. So, but the people are fooled because they think the minister knows God and God is saying all of this, but no, it's actually the minister. And this is part of the reason some people have issues hearing from God. Because they have been trained to hear something different. You've been trained to hear the minister and his money-hungry schemes to fool you. You haven't been trained to read the word of God and to verify that these things are so, like the Bereans. You haven't been trained to listen to God to know that he is trying to call you into another level, not because you're so great and wonderful, but because he's trying to do something with you that's beyond you and that is going to require that you kill your flesh and that's going to require that you sacrifice. We don't hear that. We hear the things we like to hear. And because we only hear the things that we like to hear, we stop hearing God in our lives. And then people complain about how God ain't never told them nothing. Hello? So it starts in the pulpit, Reverend Burks. And then it goes out into the pews. And then some people in the pews end up in the pulpit. And then it just keeps going on and on. So this is why doctrine is so important, because when we have a distaste for doctrine, then we will start having these false teaching problems. So what you should not get out of a sermon, including this one, is a distaste or a boredom or just a aversion to just this regular old church stuff. Another thing you should not get, and watch out for this one. What you should not get out of the sermon is you simply agreeing with desires over doctrine. I'm gonna take some time. I want y'all to write that down. Agreeing with desires over doctrine. Here's what I mean. in the scripture, again, it says, for the time will come, verse 3, 2 Timothy 4th chapter, 3rd verse, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. But listen to this, according to their own desires and to their own feelings, to their own wants, according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Let me say it like this. People will have a greater need to agree with their desires and less of a need to agree with doctrine. Let me explain this. Some of us are feeling real lonely. We miss having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife. And that's just the number one thing on our minds. Y'all hear me? And you come to church and he over here talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We got an 8-part series on sanctification and holiness. I'm lonely, Lord. And you gonna sit here talking to me about sin? I'm lonely. So, you know, Pastor James is over here talking about false doctrine, which don't mean nothing to me. But Pastor so-and-so done got a relationship thing on his podcast. And I like what he say. Now, maybe you forgot to check if he's using the Bible or not, you know, but I like what he say. So I'm going to go check out Brother So-and-so. Ooh, and guess what? How the social media algorithm works. When they find out that you like something, they give you more of it. Ooh, and guess what popped up on my timeline? I got somebody else now that's preaching on how to get a woman. Ooh, and now I got somebody else that's talking about how to be the best man for a woman and how to make a first impression. Ooh, there's another person. Ooh, yeah. And God over here trying to teach you about sanctification because he needs to take you higher and do some things in your life, but you ain't got time to hear all this doctrine because you have a desire that needs to be met immediately. Y'all hearing me? So yeah, this sermon on false teaching is boring. And that song was boring. Because I'm trying to get this money, sir. And you over here, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my rent from that was due on the first. And you over here talking about how to conduct yourself properly. What? And that's what happens. People start to want to hear what they want to hear. But sometimes, and I don't know if God is like this with y'all, but I know he's like this with me. Sometimes, God don't just tell me what I want to hear. Matter of fact, almost all the time, I want an answer, and God sends me to some Proverbs that I got to be reading because it's, you know, the day for Proverbs, and I'm supposed to be reading that. And that's what happens. That's why people flock to people who are working that algorithm on you. And they know you lonely, and they just want to preach to you. Just to you. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. That's why when we talk about these according to your own desires, And then God showed me this. You know, in the scripture, he says, multiply teachers. And I didn't understand it. Like, why is that even a relevant, you know, like, why does God even mention that? Until he realized the context, or he helped me to realize the context in which this is coming, is that since these people have a greater need to agree with desires and less of need to agree with doctrine, then guess what? If you're with doctrine, if you're going off of doctrine, you really don't need that many people to teach you. However, you do need a lot of teachers if you're picking and choosing what you want to hear. You do. Because guess what? Your emotions change daily. That's why it's called motions. Emotions. Motion. It's in motion. It changes. Your emotions change daily. The things you want change daily or weekly. And so what you start to learn how to do is to say, well, you know what? Today, I don't want to hear about no false teachers. I just want to hear about love today. So I'm going to go find something that's going to teach me about love. All right, I got that. Okay, now I need to hear something about money, how to make some money. All right, let me find, okay, this person ain't working. No, he's still on that false teaching stuff. Let me go find, okay, this person talking about money. Yeah, I like that. And the devil's just baiting you. Just fishing and just, you know. Because when you are learning about God and he wants you to learn doctrine, the teachings, instructions in the Bible, God don't need to send you a whole lot of people to teach you. He really don't. He wants you to be structured. He wants you to be set. And he wants you to learn. But when you want to fill your own desires, you start to pick and choose. Some of us on Instagram, we followed about 2,000-3,000 people, all teaching us how to live life. Hello? Okay, end the sermon. What you should not get out of a sermon is agreeing with desires over doctrine. You feel like a sermon is good when it hits you the right way, when it touches the situation that's going on in your life, and that's all that it's about. But sometimes God is working on you on other parts of your life because he's preparing you for something that's coming up. And the last one I want to mention today, another thing you should not get out of a sermon, is this sense of on demand over doctrine. See, again, what does the scripture say? The time's going to come. People aren't going to endure it, right? They're going to multiply teachers for themselves because they have a, what, itch. All y'all had itches before, right? If you've ever scratched yourself, you had an itch. You have an itch to hear what they want to hear. See, another reason why people don't like doctrine, Reverend Burks, why people don't want to come to Bible study and just really, truly learn this from the ground up, takes too long. It's really that simple. I can't even spell imputation. And you want me to learn about it? Israel and the sacrifice. What? This is way too much. What is Moses going to do? Moses was a long time ago. What he going to do for me today? What is Elijah going to do about my broken car? Huh? I need something today. I got money problems today. I got girl problems, boy problems today. And so what happens is we don't want a prepared diet. We don't want a meal plan. We want meals on demand. We like buffets because we get to get what we want to get when we get it. See, false teaching is less about structured meal plans, and it's more about meals on demand. And why is that so bad? Because we are learning to be impatient, and we're learning to satisfy our own needs, if you really think about it. What false teaching does is tell you, hey, if you want an answer from God, go get it. Right now. What you waiting on God for? Come on. Right there. It's right there. It's right in front of you. Grab it. What did it say? Name it, claim it. Blab it, grab it. It's right there. If you waiting, if you suffering, it's your fault because you should have been done with it. Get it right now. We're learning not to read the whole context of Scripture. We're not learning how to understand the doctrines. What we're learning is to find our favorite Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord, for that word of God. Whew, now I can go take my finals. Now I can go deal with the boss at work. Whew, thank you for that one sentence that you gave me, Lord. I don't need the rest of that. I don't need the rest of that chapter. I don't need the rest of that book. Thank you for that one sentence, Lord. Because it helped me. It helped me. We're learning to be impatient when we listen to false doctrine. False doctrine teaches you to be impatient. And it teaches you to go get it, to satisfy your own needs, instead of trusting that God will give you the answers when it is time. Maybe God don't want to answer your question right now because he's trying to develop something in you, like faith, like resilience. But you going to get and trying to find your own answer is actually messing up the whole program. Now you're going to go to another season and you're not prepared. And then here we go again, asking God why. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? God was trying to teach you something 2 years ago and you didn't listen. And now you're over here crying because that boy left you. You shouldn't have been with that boy in the first place. And God was trying to tell you that, but you didn't. Listen. You in that sticky situation, that financial entanglement, because you done paid for something, now you can't pay it back, and now you done borrowed money, and now things are weird because you thought you was going to get that money from so-and-so, they didn't give it to you, and now you can't access them, and then some. God told you before that you need to be saving your money. He told you before to invest. He told you how to look for crooked schemes. He told you how to do that, but you wasn't listening because at that time, what you wanted was a new car. And so all you wanted to hear was, how's the Lord gonna bless me? God's got a blessing with my name on it. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. We learn to satisfy our own needs in the sermon. See, and that's the problem, is now when we get to verse 4, it talks about they'll turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. Now, who in their right mind would turn away from something they know is true? Because I want y'all to understand this. This is not talking about people that have never come to Christ. This is talking about people who sitting in your seat in the pews. That's who this is talking about. He's not talking about the world getting tired of hearing about Jesus. He talked about the church getting tired of hearing about Jesus. How in the world do you believe in Jesus Christ? Let me make it real personal, and I need to end the sermon. How do you grow up in St. John and attend the same classes, hear the same ministers, be in the same events, and now you get in your 20s and 30s and 40s and you just went buck wild? And you know the truth, and you turned aside. How did you do this? How did you do this? It's because of this thinking. Even if we know it's not Bible, as long as it what helps me now is true. And that's what happens. That's why people who might have grown up in St. John turn to all this Wicca and all this ancestral stuff, because they have an itch called, I want to be connected to my people more. And then it turns into, well, you need to believe this and you need to do this. And then people who grew up here in St. John turn aside to all this crazy stuff, even though they know it's not true, but it scratches that itch. People will turn aside not just because if it's true or not. Y'all gotta understand. We're still over here trying to battle the truth game. Some people don't care about the truth. People care about if it helps. False teaching to a lot of us don't help you right now. Hello? So then we turn to things that we know will help, even if they are wrong. Even if we know it's wrong to be sleeping around. We know that. We know that. But it takes care of my loneliness issue now. Y'all hear me? It takes care of it now, because we've been learning to be impatient. False teaching pushes having things on demand over taking the time to hear what God is doing in your life. So with all of that, Paul then says in verse 5, he says, but as for you, talking to Timothy, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What Paul tells him to do is quite literally the opposite. Control yourself, endure stuff, actually put in the work, and fulfill your ministry. It means it takes time. It's not just one Sunday. It's not just a good word, but you need to actually do it for an extended period of time until it is over. What Paul is saying is that we ought to endure. Don't give in to our flesh. Don't give in to our desires. And Paul then talks about this next part. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Y'all see, he endured, right? But look, why did he endure? Verse 8, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. That's doctrine. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Our reward comes from endurance. We endure the test. We endure the trial. We endure the situation. We endure it and we overcome it. We do not succumb to our feelings. We do not succumb to our desires. We don't just listen to whatever's feeling good at the moment. But we understand that God has a word for us. And that word is meant to build us up. It's meant to grow us. And so if we just listen to God, who already knows about your situation, who already knows about the complications, who already knows what you're going through, if we just listen to God, he will take us through. He will get us to where we need to be, not only next week, but he'll get us to where we need to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. He'll get us there. Our reward comes from endurance, and that's just the temporal part. But if we want to make it to the end, if we want to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven, and we want to fall down and worship him, we've got to endure these things now. And the first second that we get to see him will be worth all of the struggles that we've gone over a million times over. It will be worth it. He wants us to keep our focus on the future so that we can endure the present. This is what Paul is pushing for Timothy. This thing is going to get worse. This world and people listening to you and people coming to church and people are really taking your word. This is going to get worse. But you continue, because one day you're going to be glad you did. But the only way we can continue is because of Jesus. Because Jesus continued. Jesus showed us what it was like. Even when the world was starting to get against Jesus, even when the government was coming and persecuting Jesus, Jesus went forward. Why? For the joy that was set before him, the future. He endured the cross and is now seated next to the Father. This is doctrine. Because it teaches how Jesus went on that cross and he died for us. But the reason that he died was so that we could have a right to the tree of life, so that we could be called sons and daughters of the Most High, so that, let me just make it plain, so that we can get to heaven, so that we can see the Lord, so that we can do these things. And the only way that was going to happen was if Jesus died for these sins that kept us away from God. And not only did he die, and not only was he buried, but on the third day, he what? Rose again, which proves, doctrine again, that he really is the Son of God, that sacrifice was really accepted, and that everything that Jesus said is not just a baloney, but it's actually real, that you can trust him because he conquered death. So when we're reading these things, we're not hoping and wishing and wanting these things to be true. They're true because Jesus rose from the dead. And he proved it. When we are growing in Christ, we don't need false teachers to scratch us. When we are sticking with God, we don't need to hear about health and wealth. And what I say, don't worry about nobody else but yourself. When we're growing in Christ, God takes care of us. Okay, I promise this is the end. I learned something about itching. Itching, when you scratch yourself, you're scratching an itch, right? So the itch is caused by irritated skin. I know some of us may be dermatologists in here, okay? So just bear with me, all right? When your skin is irritated or there's like an underlying condition, it generates an itch, okay? Now, whenever we itch, we scratch, right? We scratch. Now, here's something I learned. When you scratch, unless you're dealing with like a bug on you or something like that, when you scratch, you're not actually fixing the problem. What you're doing, and like I said, if you got a medical degree, help me out. But what you're doing when you scratch yourself is you are actually distracting your brain. So you're scratching yourself, and what's happening is that you're scratching yourself, and then your nervous system is actually paying attention to the scratch more than the irritation. And so then it goes to your brain, and then that's what your brain focuses on. So actually, when you scratch yourself, it's actually simply just a distraction. I learned a lot of things, right? Scratching, get this, provides an immediate and temporary distraction, but clinicians have proven can end up making the condition worse. Have y'all ever heard a doctor saying, hey, like, do your best not to scratch certain wounds? Because when you scratch it, you know, you open it up and you invite infections to come in. Y'all heard that, right? I'm not a doctor. I'm just repeating what doctor said. It's interesting. I just found that interesting. Here's the thing, though, and I'm going to end with this. It was very interesting that Paul used that word of itching, because that's what false teachers do. They like to scratch itches. They like to provide you immediate and temporary distractions from what you're going through in life. But they actually make it worse. You don't feel it. You don't think so. But it actually makes it worse. When you're told that you don't need nobody but Jesus, and only God can tell you what to do, can't no man or woman tell you what to do, only God. You don't need no church, you don't need no pastor, you don't need no teacher, you don't need no mentor, you don't need nobody, you just need the Lord. It scratches until you start to find out that you're lonely because you don't listen to nobody. And that you hard-headed because you don't listen to nobody. And that you can't change your life because you don't listen to nobody. And God keeps sending you person after person to try to tell you what you're doing wrong. And you keep cussing them out. Because they, quote-unquote, getting in your business when God is literally trying to get in your business and trying to help you with your business. But the scratching felt good when that preacher said it. It helped. Or at least it seemed to help. When that preacher said it. But when Pastor James talks about stuff like this, that don't help. Well, at least it don't feel like it helps. False teachers like to scratch itches. So when you're itching, remember, you don't need scratching, you need cleansing. If your child is scratching themselves over and over and over, this is something I learned. They need a bath. My child don't need longer fingernails. Jason doesn't need me to help him with scratching. He don't need a back scratcher. What Jason needs is to be cleaned from the stuff that is making him itch in the first place. Some of us are itching for money, itching for men and women, itching for relevance, itching for a better job, itching, 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 itching. And I'm telling you, your itching is a sign that you need to be cleaned. Not scratched, cleaned. You don't need somebody that tells you what you want to hear. You need somebody that's going to help wash that sin off of your body so you stop itching for another man or woman, for another car, for another opportunity, for another higher position. You need to scratch that itch. That's what you think you need to do. You need to scratch that itch, but God actually wants to clean you. And what better to wash you than the blood of Jesus Christ? And that's doctrine.